Well, now that Donald Trump is president-elect, he'll have to put together a cabinet. One of the most important jobs is Secretary of State. And among the names reportedly being talked about are former House Speaker Newt Gingrich and Tennessee Senator Bob Corker, chairman of the Foreign Relations Committee. No matter who gets the job, one of the biggest challenges will be Russia. At the Kremlin yesterday, Russian President Vladimir Putin congratulated Trump for his victory. Here he is speaking through a translator.
But Russia is ready and wants to restore the full-fledged relations with the United States.
Joining us now is Lucian Kim, who's going to be NPR's new Moscow correspondent. He's in Washington today. Hi, Lucian.
Hi.
Well, what do you make of President Putin's reaction to Donald Trump's victory?
Well, if I had to describe it in one word, I'd probably say conciliatory. And in some ways, it's a little bit surprising. I mean, the relations right now between the, Russia and the United States are truly in a crisis. Putin also did say that straight out, that it's in a crisis. And the words he also repeated were he's ready to build relations as long as they're built on mutual respect. We keep on hearing this word respect and genuine consideration of each side's interests. Why it's surprising is because when Barack Obama won the election in 2008, there was a very different reaction from Moscow at the time. Dmitry Medvedev, who is Putin's protege, was president. And he reacted to Obama's election by saying he would station missiles that could have nuclear warheads on the Polish border. So it was a very different welcome this time to the incoming president.
Putin also said it's not our fault that relations are as bad as they are. Do you think Donald Trump agrees with that, that it's the United States' fault that relations between Russia and the U.S. are not good?
I do think that considering the kind of rhetoric we did hear from Donald Trump during the election campaign, I think that Donald Trump would probably partially agree with that. I mean, that is grievances against the United States and the West in general are really driving Putin's foreign policy right now. And Trump has certainly made indications that he understands Russia's position in Ukraine, Syria, and in Europe, where Russia feels encircled by NATO.
Do you expect that Trump will try to ease the sanctions on Russia because of Russia's annexation of Crimea?
We don't know exactly, but Donald Trump did make noises during the summer that he understood annexation to be sort of a fait accompli that could no longer be reversed. And I think it really should be said that for Putin, probably the number one priority is to get the sanctions lifted. What is important to remember is the sanctions came about actually in two waves. First, after the annexation of Crimea in March 2014. And then there was sort of an epilogue to that conflict when Russia began supporting a rebellion in eastern Ukraine, which included later the tragic shootdown of a Malaysia Airlines airliner over the rebel area, which then kind of pushed for a second wave of sanctions. So we kind of have two sets of sanctions. These sanctions have been implemented by the European Union and the United States. And that unity between the United States and the European Union is very important. If that cracks, or if there are dissenting voices also within the European Union, which has 28 member nations, that could then create some waves, and then the momentum to keep the sanctions on Russia could break. So for Putin, that's very important.
Is it possible that Putin could try to take more territory if he thinks that Trump is okay with Crimea?
Well, this is the thinking in large parts of Eastern Europe that were under Soviet influence. Their concern is that if the West simply accepts the annexation of Crimea, says, well, you know, Ukraine isn't going to get it back, too bad, let's get on with things and move forward. The concern is that that will basically be a green light to Putin to expand further. Whether those fears are justified, we, of course, don't know, but that certainly is a very real fear.
What about Syria? Obviously, the U.S. and Russia both involved in the fight in Syria, but they've got different interests. The Russians are in support of President Assad. The U.S. has been less so, although they haven't taken steps to oust him at this point. But what might happen when it comes to Syria?
It's really hard to tell, again, what might happen. We've heard different things. But during the summer, Donald Trump did say that, hey, why don't we team up with the Russians and fight ISIS in Syria? And this has been sort of Putin's line ever since Russia entered the conflict in Syria a little more than a year ago. Putin went to the United Nations and he said, guys, we need to make an international coalition very similar to the coalition that defeated Hitler in World War II. This is the same kind of threat, and we want to be on the same team and go after these guys. And the way Putin is spinning it back home is that the West is not serious about fighting terrorism, and that's why Russia has to go its own way.
That's Lucian Kim, NPR's incoming Moscow correspondent, joining us today from Washington. Lucian, thank you.
Thanks, Jeremy.
Lots of topics to discuss, and we will be discussing them as we look forward to the next administration in the White House. What does it mean for us and other countries?